I wonder if it's evolution, you know, the theory of evolution where the man as a hunter, you know, a caveman, they must always go out and get it and hunt it or whatever. So any kind of restriction just feels like it going against your nature. I don't know.
I agree with you. I feel it goes against a great brother because I function best when I am free. You said the minute you tell me say me can't do nothing, it's like my head start hurt, man. It's like me want is it more me want to do something. Like
Hold on.
It's like even when the curfew thing drop at Jamaica. Virgin, like me not think you understand how annoyed I was. Knowing that somebody or a government that tell me something, come on me out by 9 o'clock. like, yo.
Yeah. We raised the point earlier, say, a man can do the role of 50 years and he's perfectly fine with it. But the moment she go say, yo, with that, like, if automatically, man say, yo, no, that too. That too staffing. Yeah, I spend 50 years of my life with it already, but that kind of too much.
Because the minute that is introduced, you know, a whole heap of other stuff becomes introduced as well. A bunch of expectations. Bear in mind, you know, the expectations was there before, but it wasn't
formalized.
It was not only that it was formalized, but it wasn't an obligatory expectation. You understand? It's like we both knew that there's an understanding and I will fulfill my duty. You will fulfill my duty. But at the back of my head, we weren't tied. You understand? Each individual had a sense of quote-unquote freeness. As soon as the title come in place, it's like a lock and key and the obligation becomes stamp. It's like, listen, this is what has to take place. You have to do this, you're this, you're that, you're that. And then...
Which is why obligation...
Honestly, it's stifling. it is stifling. It is stifling. And we didn't even draw... We brought up the whole reference to being in quarantine. And we say it's completely, you know, it's a psychological thing. Because yes, you can go outside. Yes, you want to go outside. But you're inside and you're like, all right. this a mess with my psyche. I can't do this.
Yeah.
But knowing that you had the option on a regular day to go outside, you'd probably still stay inside, you know. You probably wouldn't go outside, but just knowing that you could, which is why I always say, like, for me, knowing that I can do something and not choose to do it is better for me, and it works out. I just work better that way.
It works being told. Across the board, in my own life, in relationships, and I think this is the point that I make to women. Let me choose to be with you. Let me choose to commit. Don't try to trick me into the commitment. By making it sound like an obligation, because the moment it sounds like an obligation, I tune out. And so it's just like the quarantine, the government now telling you have to stay in, and that sounds far too rigid. I mean have to, and again it's a good cause, but it just rubs you the wrong way as a man.
And the thing is to that point, you know. Saying we were talking earlier about, like, most days we don't even leave our homes, like, we would prefer not to leave our home. But the moment we are told that you can't leave your home, I say, yo, me don't want to leave my home, but why I tell me something, yeah, no more. Why you no more. Yeah.
like, you know, funny enough, I always said, like, I remember I was talking to a group of ladies, and I was like, listen, you know that if you tell your guy that him can't cheat, or every minute you bring up cheating and blah, 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 you're actually pushing this man to cheat more. You know that a guy that he can go out and do whatever is less likely to go out and do whatever because he's comfortable where he's at.
Facts.
But the minute you introduce this whole concept of rules and you can't do this and you can't do that, you don't even realize that you are... it's like it has a negative inverse, if you want to put it that way, where it's like,
so in a way, it's like the forbidden fruit theory. Basically, you want something, the more you can't have it, or the more you are given the perception that you can't have it. So say, I say, yo, wait, hold on, why we can't talk to that girl? Or why we can't go buy one PlayStation? But what?
No, I wonder how much man die from COVID versus woman, because we just feel like say, a man would deliberately say, yo, me I go outside. I mean, no, I'm in a mask. No boy can't.
No, yo, but I'm gonna be completely honest with you. That was me in the initial stage. People are gonna burn me out when they hear this. But yo, I'm gonna be straight. Up until now, I can't see the sense of this mask thing, because I'm gonna put it out there again. People might burn me out, but that is perfectly fine. If you know the amount of things you can contact, even before COVID come out, on a day-to-day basis, if you know the amount of germs that you pick up daily, the little mass foolishness that we are walking around with is whatever. But anyway, as I said, the mass thing they are not me. Mean when me are going to a place, I remember me going to a supermarket in a brother and. You have a little mask police, I call him. Put on your mask! I better tell you, it grieved me, you know, and then I look around at the supermarket and I'm like, pull your mask over your nose. So I said to him, say, all right, so you're going to walk me down to see if the mask over my nose through the entire supermarket. Like,
but you know, the thing, it's interesting you brought up that point, because according to the Washington Post, the coronavirus is killing more men than women.
See?
but and I wonder if there's another element to it that according to them as well. These are the reasons they give. Men have weaker immune systems that in some cases may actually sabotage the body's response to an invader. But social and cultural factors may also play a role. I'm ever feeling that those social and cultural factors might be this evidence, stubbornness,
I really feel so, and it's an overlapping, you know, because you see the immune system,
it's innate.
Again, you see the immune system is probably weaker, because let's be real, men engage in far more dangerous lifestyle habits, right? And and as men, we love it. And you know, a man will say, me not take no vitamins because I'm strong, me not need them supplements. So all of these things contribute. So a man get a little, you know, him probably contract it.
That's soon.
Because let me feel, me start feeling
that soon as the flu lick your drop down.
Exactly. You know what you said? Me say, no man, it's just like a head cold, man. It's just like a head cold, man. Me all right, man. Me not need for you know, but it's like, even like the mask thing, and my thing is, again, you see, because I have no problem wearing the mask once I understand the science and the thinking behind it, but don't enforce something without explaining to me. That's the difference. Let me be able to choose the right thing, you know. That's my thing. Go ahead, Natu.
I was commenting on that very same thing, that yo, a man, and we even mentioned it in a previous episode, like if yo, a man can be shot, but if he, as long as he's not bleeding, he's fine. that's what mentality is. Like, oh yeah, wait, no blood.
Oh, God, oh
yeah,
man.
Have a bullet, lad. Yeah. I'm all good. But yo, I've realized that is a thing. And so when we take it back to the original conversation or like relationship, yo, I've talked to a bunch of men who they are perfectly fine being in a relationship, you know. Because I say, yo, we ask them, but I say, yo, you and the girl there? No, there, I'm and the girl there. So why, what's the situation between you? No, like every day after work, we go to our house. Sometimes she cooks, sometimes me cook. We sit down, we watch Netflix, we eat food together. We sometimes go out for a date. And, you know, we meet her family, she meet mine, but we're not there.
You know, I'm more, add another element to this thing. You realize also that as soon as the title is introduced, we start tend to feel some type of way too as well. And I know we most of the times put on the title, but we start feel the effects of it where now stuff that we would necessarily give attention to, we start give attention to. Like the jealousy side of us, the jealousy side of us start come out. So before, when we were just whatever, mark you, unofficially we together. You understand? But now when everything official and tie club, before if me see I talk to somebody or you're there beside me or message off somebody, whatever, whatever, it probably wouldn't bother me as much. You understand? And an argument probably wouldn't start. But as soon as the title get thrown now, I start pre that, and you know, it's unconsciously rubs off on us, I feel, because naturally we wouldn't give a crap about it.
It's a psychological framing.
Do men, and I've heard it more often than not recently, but some women say, you know, men don't ask to be in a relationship anymore. And I feel like that's a reflection of perhaps our uncomplicated view of relationships in terms of, you know, like ascribing titles and all of that. But I also feel like it goes back to that whole psychological framework where we would engage in the act that essentially restricts us. Once we don't acknowledge that it does, then we're completely fine with it. And so the question I hear more often than not recently is women saying, yo, like, why don't men ask to be in relationships? Like, they really talk to one brother and they know what they want. But the brother will never come out and say, hey, what do you want to be my girlfriend?
You know, I would even say that.
The brother we talk to you for 20 years.
I would even say that I think a man will ask a woman that he is deeply interested in a level for that sort of thing. The reality is, if the man doesn't feel like asking you that because he doesn't see any additional benefit, that's between you and him. It is nothing inherently wrong with the man. I just think it's the situation, it's the interaction, right? Because even when a man proposes, there's nothing you can do to coerce the man. I shouldn't say there's nothing you can do, but it is far more fulfilling when the man decides for himself. Not true, Rimzy? When the man can decide for himself versus you framing it like an ultimatum. Rimzy got silent.
But to that point, I think so one, we can admit that there is no broad brush way of approaching that situation, and two, like, I also feel like it's a lot more nuanced than you know, people say. Like, if a man, I get that, you know, the common experience of most women is that, you know, if a man does not initiate that conversation about being in a relationship, like, as far as she's concerned, they are not together. But I don't think, or he doesn't want to be in a relationship with her. But I saw a post recently, and I'm going to read what the post says to you guys, because I think it's complete rubbish, and it kind of plays into my point that, you know, the issue is a lot more complicated than that. Hold on, let me find it for you. But in the meantime, Phil, Rimzy, you're done by the chat, bro, so step in.
But like, I feel for women sometimes, because there are the circumstances, and if we're honest, there are the circumstances that it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you wait and don't, if you wait for the man, him naga ask. And if you naga take 3 years and you ask the man, wagwan, then the man naga say, what you rush me for? Like, just relax.
But let me ask you. So you see, this is my thing. I like to question a lot of things, you know. And my thing is the whole questioning of this whole titles and your mind, I am yours thing. I feel like most men, they speak through actions, and I am one of those persons where if I am giving you a certain amount of me, I think that some things are being said without actually being said. If you want to put it that way.
Let me be devil's advocate. You can drive, right? Without a license. What is the value of the license?
But there's no value of a license. If the license is just a regulatory purpose, if we're being honest. You can teach a 6-year old to drive.
Yeah.
And you get better with experience. Again, it comes down to this. So let me ask you a question now, because we as men, what is it with us and boundaries and regulations?
I feel like there's some amount of ego in that.
It all comes down, you know. It all comes down to the original statement that we started out with. As soon as there is boundaries introduced or restrictions, the innate man start having an issue.
Mm.
Tell the man that he's free. Give a man a nice woman. He will be with that woman for a million years. Give a man whatever. But the minute you start plant restrictions on him, everything else start go down the line.
But to the psychological point,
it's psychological.
If you really look at it, we are free, you know, like in a relationship. So essentially, we feel like we don't necessarily have to subscribe to the rules, you know. But once there are certain rules that are mentioned, we really are free, like in our relationship. Like, if we decide that we're going to step out and like, you know, we're gonna have a fling with another woman, and we come back home, like nobody knows.
As we're here having this conversation, something just pop up in my head. You know, I really think that's why prisons were created, though. Are invented. If you think about the psychological effect that prisons have and being confined and condemned to a space.
No, man, it will destroy you, man. It will destroy you. That's why solitary confinement is one of the most dangerous things to the mind.
Let's put it on a broad... Yes, Natu, you're reading properly.
Am I to understand that Mr. Ellis is equating being in a relationship to being in prison?
The reality is some relationships are sold as a long list of things you are not supposed to do.
And in that case, that is prison.
I think for the sake, that is entrapment. But I don't think boundaries are bad. I don't think regulations are bad, because it goes both ways. There are some things you don't want a woman do to you, with you, or related to you. And those are boundaries, right? And so I think it's essentially boundary management. Mm-hmm. But boundaries and restrictions are two different things. Boundaries and restrictions are when you feel restricted, it drains you of all your energy. When you feel restricted.
So I have a question.
That's when everything starts to come into play.
I have a question. Is defining a relationship in terms of... Because the other day, interestingly, we had a conversation about pretty much defining love before going out to find love. Right? And so we in that conversation, we understood the benefit of defining something, and we all agreed that we are supposed to define what love was for us. We're supposed mm-hmm. to define what it is. And that might help us, you know, figure it might be our guiding stick. So when a woman, for example, in a relationship chooses to define the relationship by, for lack of a better word, imposing a title on it, is that a restriction or is that a boundary being set? Mm. As you said, there's a difference. So what do you think is happening in that?
You know, I think when you as a man agree to something that you don't feel comfortable with deep down in the back of your mind or what, I think that's when it becomes a restriction, right? When you know you're not comfortable, yeah. when you know you're not mm-hmm. happy, when you know you're just playing a role, that's when it becomes a restriction.
I agree with it.
But it becomes a restriction when mm-hmm. you say when you're not happy. When you're playing a role. So how do we differentiate then? How do you identify then when somebody is in a situation where there are boundaries as opposed to being a situation
okay, so
where there are
when it comes to boundaries essentially, if you live in any society, any group, any community, that's more than one person, there are boundaries to prevent harm, encroachment on the other person, and all of those things, right? But that does not limit happiness. That does not limit joy. That does not limit personal choice, right? Restrictions now are limits on those things. So, for example, as Remzi said, prison. A restriction is something that your privileges are restricted. The things that you would want to do to find joy or be up to, you can't do.
That's a difference.
You know? All right. So for example, boundaries. Every man, you buy a house in a community, in a scheme. Those boundaries are your yard, and you can do things in that yard to feel like a king in your own castle. That's your boundary. That is not a prison. A prison means that this construction was created for you, even without you in mind, to confine you, to make you feel like although you are alive, you do not feel alive. That's the distinction.
All right. So you say it's designed to make you feel that. No, you know, the argument could be raised that we are willful participants. So in other words, are we suggesting then that we are, that men are being manipulated into situations where they are unknowingly submitting to restrictions as opposed to
all
submitting
of
because
all of us on the face of the earth are...
Hold on. there are questions then about, you know, culpability and agency. So where is a man's agency in that situation? Because a woman can suggest certain things. A woman can suggest that, you know, these are what I want, but a man doesn't necessarily have to oblige to them. So if a man finds himself in a situation where he's feeling restricted, there is some amount of accountability there to be had. Or is it that there are cases where men just simply don't know what's happening and simply just end up in a situation where they are restricted as opposed to a situation where there are healthy boundaries being
yeah, I think we have been raised to just say, you know what, I can't, but I just make it work with it, right? I think it's only later on in our lives that men have reclaimed personal agency. Personal agency meaning we are deciding that we are going to do things that make us happy, not just to please the other person. And so we're finally reclaiming that. But previously, if you said certain things, you'd be like essentially a social pariah. How dare you not want this? How dare you even think that? And then like to just avoid the condescending, because many women talk down to men. That's a reality. So to avoid this air of condescension or having to question your beliefs or the things that make you happy. And you say, all right, make we just work with it. Make we just work with it. So I think, going back to Ramsey's prison analogy, the prison set up, and we just walk into the prison because we just can't bother with the noise. I think it's time for us to say no. No, no, and regardless of what you might think, the answer is still no. My mind, my perception might change, and when my mind and perception changes, then I will no longer look at it as a prison, but my kingdom.
But you raise a point, we are being real about this. That there are men who, to use that whole analogy, like, man, them take all that milk, but they don't want to grow, And some men knowingly go in a situation where they have no intention of, because basically a relationship is obviously a contract as well, between two people. And so, that implies that there needs to be certain negotiations. And we also expect that those negotiations would be done in good faith. But there are men who go into these situations preventing the facade that they will, meet some of these contract requirements and play a particular role. So, Steph, you mentioned earlier as well that, we find ourselves playing a certain role. That's the bad side of it. But there are those who go in intending to play a certain role to get certain benefits, and they will keep it for as long as they can keep it running.
We have mastered that art.
Without committing.
Come on, we have mastered that art. We have mastered that art.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have mastered that art.
I wouldn't even say master. I just think it's natural.
We still master
it's just natural.
But this is where now I feel like it becomes important, and I get that it's an emotional position for a woman to find herself in, where she felt that she was negotiating in good faith, only to end up with a bad deal. Now, the problem is that particular man, and I won't go as far as to say, that man is objectively speaking a bad person, because I feel like I don't know if it's just men, but isn't it obvious when we see one brother and we say, yep, I think I did
a
but
we can see. All right. We can see.
Yep.
We can see.
We see it. And so I'm wondering if it's because I don't know what it is, but I'm wondering if it's because it seems so obvious to us that it creates a disconnect when we're having conversations with women now who are say, yo, on a man wicked, and we say, yo, but how you know that? So like there needs to be some understanding there in those situations, but when a woman goes as far as to say no, in those situations when a man pretty much dupes her out of her contract, say, yo, like, see, the man are wicked and things like that, where, our sense of objectivity is lost. And we get it, but it creates some earthing judgment that it doesn't help the long-term prospect of a woman as far as developing a healthy relationship goes, because then every man becomes that man who cheated her. Every man becomes a brother who secretly either tries not her sister or something.
I stop arguing that point. Yeah. I stop arguing against the men are trash point. I stop arguing it because I realize that it's going to be a circular argument. Only role is for you to, I'm giving you the opportunity to hear and understand me, not hear and understand me as part of the collective, but I am in front of you. We are trying to be in a relationship, or we are in a relationship. Understand me separate and apart from the collective. Because if I were to look at you like that, then all women are going to be the same. It's a slippery slope. It's understanding that there are some similarities and commonalities, but also taking it back to when it comes to personal relationships. There has to be some level of culpability, personal culpability on both parts. Because they say, yeah, like we as men, we see it. We can look at a man and a woman in a relationship and say, that man is not 100% in, or that man a gearbon. But
so when we get that level of understanding, is it that because I might be treading on some people who are territory here, but the concept of you know, grace is basically it's something that you can't earn. There is nothing you can do
with them grace.
Earn grace, right? No. In
Grace Jones are a spicy attack.
This is what I was getting. When we are in a situation where we get that acknowledgement of the woman, so the woman sees us, she understands us, and she says, "All right, I understand your individual experience, and I understand your individual expectations of what this is." And so, you know, in the spirit of compromise, like I'm willing to accept these things, but I, in return, will only accept these things under the condition that we label this as a relationship. So mind you, yeah, get the understanding where you want. Yeah, get that acknowledgement from the woman. But the woman say, what I need in return is this title.
But you can't.
Is that too? Is,
you can't be mad at her. You can't. I don't say that. I won't. No,
is that
no.
Too much to ask?
I won't say that's
no,
too
you
much.
Can't.
It's
no,
up
you
to
can't.
You, as the man, to decide if you are going to do that, knowing fully well that you're not comfortable. And in that regard, you can't blame the woman, or just say, no, you can't do it, and understand that it might lead to disappointing the woman, right? But at the end of the day, you're still comfortable. So. It's still personal agency. It's still personal agency.
So let me ask this question, you know, of all of us. See, when is the right time? Is there ever a time for you know, like time considered? Yes. So you look funny. I say, well, we've been in this situation for like 2-3 years now, so maybe we can start having these conversations about what this is. So, is there a right time for a woman to bring up that conversation?
Ask it from day one. Nobody waste no time, because some man will waste your time. And the man responds from day one as well. It goes both ways. Don't because yesterday, make we see how it go, puts not just the woman through turmoil, but it puts you through turmoil as well.
You know what is funny? So the woman yearns for that, and the man runs from that.
Until the woman no longer yearns for it, and the man runs towards it.
So that's the game.
That's why I'm
like,
saying
I really feel like
it's evolution. I don't oftentimes believe in the evolutionary theory, but I think this is one scenario where like men need to feel like hunters, men need to feel free to chase. I really feel like that, you know. Or perhaps we're just socializing our men into being that type of hunter, that type of attitude.
Because I don't I I'm trying to find the evolutionary perspective on it. I'm trying to find the biological imperative that would have a man. All right, so we know then, you know, the biological imperative is a particular species. So, you know, you consistently are refining the gene pool. So you mate with one partner. You know, you get a certain set of options, and then you move on. Yeah, and then you move on to another partner who might have, you know, other traits that increases the offspring's chances for survival. In the context of a relationship, is it that, Steph, are you then saying the perspective from an evolutionary standpoint is that we deny our biological imperative by agreeing to type? Is that it? Is that basically the broad way of seeing it?
Oof. Ask Ramsey.
I wouldn't say you deny it. I would say you limit it. Because you're still doing it, but there's a limit psychologically.
Yeah, I think there's a fear
physically.
That, okay, so what if...
And what you can.
What if I choose this mate and this mate is not the right mate and I'm locked into this thing? Right? I think that's the sensation that you feel. Right? I think that's the sensation. You know, because I think there's an overlap between the cultural and the evolutionary.
But here's the interesting thing about that. If we're going by the biological perspective or the biological imperative, there is no such thing as a right mate. There is only the next best thing. There's only the next mate. So if we know humans, we are not slaves to these impulses, but we have to acknowledge when they are influencing some of the decisions we're making. But I feel like it's a convenient I feel like I get its validity as well, but I feel like it's a convenient way for some men to show what may very well be just chronic indecisiveness. You know what I mean? So we say, you know, this is why we're doing this. We say, yo, like, we don't want to feel limited, we want to feel free, we want to feel that. But essentially
you're immature, you're not a man.
But the fact is that we keep moving on from one partner to the next. So it's kind of like you are never satisfied. And so you keep moving on, and then the question becomes, you know, a matter of intention. Like, what is your intention? Like, are you presenting that you want to be in a committed long-term relationship and then running from it? Or is it that you really don't
I go cut you, Steph. When you go to a restaurant, Natu, and you eat. So you go to a Chinese restaurant and you eat. You're satisfied with the food,
Fried chicken with curry.
And then you go eat at another restaurant and you're satisfied with the food. So, Mary asks, you know, that person who is moving on, couldn't it be that that's his way of satisfaction? I think we tend to look at things linear. And I keep saying that things aren't just black and white. We live in a very colorful world. And people think, people cope, and if you start to question a lot of things, you realize that it makes no sense.
That could be
my satisfaction. My satisfaction could be doing what I can do here, get as much as I can get here. When I feel like I've, in a sense, been satisfied, I go on to the next thing.
All right. So to address it and go back to step point. Here's the thing with that room. Is that just one perspective in a relationship that typically involves two people? And the problem with that is we can say that is our kind of satisfaction. But
there's no problem if it is stated from an initial standpoint.
Here's the point I make. That can very well be our kind of satisfaction. But when that sort of converges with somebody else who has a different idea of satisfaction, and we want to get satisfaction from them without meeting their own definitions of what satisfaction is. That's mm-hmm. where the problem comes in, and that's where there's a disconnect. So it's about one, obviously, like disclosing from the initial stage of communication, but it's also about being honest about what you want, because mm-hmm. someone will go play that game just to get it. Mm-hmm. We'll play that game, but we yeah. really don't yeah, yeah. want so what the woman wants. So yes,
I was saying every tool can become a weapon in the hands of someone with the wrong intentions. And so yes, someone can have a valid reason for why they don't want to settle down, but someone can use that same reason as a weapon just to get what they want, according to him, to satisfy, right, to the detriment of somebody else. And I've done it, where I play the role just to get what I want, and it is dangerous.
Just ask a question yourself. Are you, when you're doing, do you admit to yourself that this is
you
what
know
you're doing?
From the, I knew from the beginning, during, and the end of it. But then this is where the toxic part comes mm-hmm. in. I can't call myself on my BS. You know, and at the end of it, you still find a reason to blame the woman. Yeah, and
ladies
then you realize,
you
and then you realize the damage
Steph
that
first.
You're doing. Then you realize the damage that you're doing. Fortunately, I for everybody, for me and for everybody, I don't do that anymore. I'm a firm believer in if this thing satisfies me and this thing satisfies you, and we can agree that we are going to be satisfied together, then by all means, and this is where boundaries come in. But if you use it, if you are telling me that only because you think it suits me, and then after that, then it's revealed that there is a hidden agenda, or there was something else, or you're just pandering to me, you're moving the goalposts, and then it's on you. Then it's on you. It's so, and there's no way you can make me feel guilty for that after the fact.
But, you know, a point that was mentioned earlier, I will laugh about it, but it's true. So, if a woman, you know, we can be with a woman, and we acknowledge that, yeah, we're like, this is a really good woman, but, you know, we really aren't at that place, or so we tell ourselves. And then, almost magically, when the woman says, all right, you know, this is what you want, this is what I want, so I'm going to leave. And then we have that big introspective moment that, you know, I've lived this life long enough. You know, I can commit to this thing. Yeah, and then, like, we become the ones, you know, who are pushing that whole narrative of defining it. Like, yo, like, I want you to be my woman. Like, I almost lost.
Yeah, we go full Drake. We go full Drake mode.
I don't want that.
Cups are the rose.
You know, I'm like, yeah, we go full Drake. And you never go full Drake.
Drunk texts and calls, you know, all of a sudden I realize how much you mean to me, how much you mean to my life. I almost lost a real one, you know.
That's it, bro. Where is it? No, I'm legit trying to wrap my brain, trying to figure out, like, why we do these shit. Like, why? We know some of our woman who is a good woman. Nah, bro. So, like, Mr. Day, thing with him, I say, yo, the only thing that I want to pay is take woman out. Yeah. That makes sense.
I think we can finish the conversation right where we started. I guess it's just the thrill. Is it the thrill, or is it the fact that you feel like you need to be the one in control of the decision, and sometimes an ultimatum forces you to make that decision real quick, you know, real quick. You know, you could almost get corona, so till you get it, and you're almost dead and you realize real quick you have to take your health serious.
Hey. hey. Let's call that instant sobriety, because we drum the whole time for the relationship at the moment. I feel like that's something we need to dig into, because the point here is about like feeling like we need to be the one in control. And then, you know, we're going back to certain conversations now. Because of that, we might be heading into certain territories. Like, the patriarchal structure, like, you know, we just like men are uncomfortable with women proposing. Yo, you want my woman, you know, but
no,
you don't. If she proposes, like, nah.
No, listen, what we're describing, you know, is what we call hegemonic masculinity, you know, that we must always have the power, you know, that like, and a man feeling powerless or restricted in power goes against our masculinity, you know, that feeling. That's what it is. That's what we've been talking about all of this time. You know?
Oh, that's shit, what we're talking about. To know that we've identified that. So that's what's been happening. So even the men who think that they are not coexist, like in our relationship structure, we sort of, I guess, inadvertently and in some cases impose
absolutely. But you know, there is enlightenment after that. When you move from power to empowerment, me and Ramsey talk about this. You see, when a woman feels empowered in the relationship, that's when you get the best and the most out of the woman. When the woman does not feel restricted and does not feel the need to be restrictive, that's when you get the most. When you as a man don't feel like you need to control the woman for fear, all of those fears and doubts, or feel like you're losing your manhood, that's when you get the most out of it. And so the relationships after that period of enlightenment for me have been all the more so much greater. But it's about also ensuring the woman that it's okay. Listen, even if I don't do what you want me to do, you know, I am still a man and I'm still a good man. That is part of empowerment too, you know. It's not just the man, you know. It's the woman being comfortable enough to accept that this man is a man because he decides, not because I control him, right? Not because I control him. And the analogy I always give, like to man, we always talk about, you know, the woman can't do this and the woman can't do this. And I said, if you look at a pride, the lioness is the one that does the hunting, you know. And the lion understands that he does not have to roar in a lioness face or dominate her, right? In order to be a lion. He is a lion because he's a lion. That's just his state. Him no need for proof, nothing at all. So there is nothing you need to do to lord it over the woman. Let the woman be who she is and you can benefit as well.
Right, I'm sitting here and my mind is... Right. We started out trying to figure out. And this is why, every day I'm just get no, but no. Woo! But every day I'm sitting down, my people say, yo, you know, it's good that we have this kind of conversation. Because here is something we've been trying to label, we've been trying to identify this. And it's when we're having a conversation about labels in a sense.
Yeah.
And now we've been able to.
And how to become better from it. How to become better from it, you know?
Yeah, because we didn't realize that the reason why we are not comfortable with a woman, quote unquote, imposing a label on the relationship is because of whether or not
we feel like we're gonna lose it. We feel like we're gonna lose it. We feel like we're gonna lose power. We're gonna lose freedom. We're gonna and power and freedom.
Yes, bro.
We've been taught is directly linked to masculinity. That's what we've been taught. That's what we've been raised to believe. That's just it. And you know, I think you're right. I think this is going to, but this is the point. This is the point of a safe space. And this is why there is no room, or there should be no room for condescension. Let us work through things as men, as intelligent beings, without fear of how dare you think like that? How dare you feel that? How dare you do that? You did that 10 years ago? How dare you? Why did you do that 10 years ago? How dare you talk about something you did 10 years ago? Right? These are some of the sentiments that make a man just lock down and become the same thing that you don't want him to be, you know. So I think this one can become a paper.
Bruh.
This one can go in a journal article. This one is profound. This one is profound. But Rimzy, me hear your boss a sneeze a while ago. Please wear your mask. we can, if you want me to tell you the reasons behind it, I can find some articles. Not to send him the statistics, but about how men die 2.5 times faster than women, or more than women.
Listen, man.
Yes. For the people who want to be safe, we also have coming out Men's Truth podcast masks to be safe and to support the movement. I think that was a brilliant segue. I just want to tap myself on the shoulder for that one. That was a brilliant segue. So for the people who are interested in the Men's Truth podcast masks, wherever you are in the world, we're going to find a way to get it to you. That's what we're doing. Support the movement, support the cause while staying safe. So, brethren, we're not even introduced ourselves, but you all know us by now.
Communication, man, Rimzy, sales and marketing sectors, and
blessings.
Me,
Rimzy, right, what we said to the right people.
So, yeah, peace out, man.
Legendary.
Yes, dog. The episode is solid, dog. Yo, the episode is solid, dog.